As the book of Bamidbar comes to an end, there are a number of thoughts which come to our minds. The first one is that the book itself, in a certain sense, was unnecessary. The Jews should have left Egypt, had a brief stop at Sinai, received the Torah, and continue their glorious path to the land of Israel. Unfortunately, we know that that's not exactly what took place. A number of sins along the way slowed them down. One of them was the sin of the golden calf. As a result of that sin, they ended up delaying building a temporary place to worship God, which is interesting. They build the Mishkan. When the Mishkan is finally ready, then the cloud lifts, and then they're ready to continue their travels. Then they're ready to go to the land of Israel. It's at that point when the sin of the spies is introduced. And that's the sin which seems the most devastating, because as a result of that sin, the whole generation that left Egypt is going to die, and that whole generation is not going to enter into the land of Israel. The whole book of Bamidbar seems to have had mistake after mistake, rebellion after rebellion, sin after sin. And now as we get to the very end, and they're the other side of the Jordan River, they're poised to cross, although there's a tragedy because not everyone's going to cross. I'm not referring only to that generation who's passed away, but there's one other person, and that's Moshe. Moshe is going to be buried together with that generation. Moshe is going to be buried on the other side of the Jordan, in the plains of Moab. And then we hear this request. It starts with the tribes, Reuven, Gad. Later Manasseh somehow joins together as well. And what these tribes say, the request that they make, is they don't want to cross. They want to stay on the other side. Now, can you imagine saying such a thing to Moshe Rabbeinu? Moshe, who's prayed, and we'll learn more about those prayers in Parshat Ve'etchanan. Moshe, who prays and desperately wants to enter into the land, is now approached and asked by some people, by the way, can we get your punishment? Of course, they don't see it as a punishment. But in a certain sense, you know, especially now with the days leading up to Tisha B'Av, Galut is a punishment. Remaining outside of the land of Israel is a punishment. That's the punishment which was promised to the people when they don't behave. And now the tribes of Reuven and Gad approach Moshe and say, we'd like some of that, please. Now Moshe makes a reference, which is very painful. Moshe says, your behavior reminds me of the last people who did something like this. And those were the spies. The spies as well conspired to stay outside of the land of Israel. And Moshe immediately accuses the tribes of Reuven and Gad of the same type of behavior. The term that he uses is that they weakened the resolve of the people. They caused their hearts to be scared. And he says to Reuven and Gad, what do you think is going to be the result of your tribe saying, we don't want to go? You're going to scare the people. Why should the others go if you're going to stay behind? And of course the reason to go, because that's the promised land. But the accusation is just a terrible accusation. So the background of Moshe himself receiving this punishment, and these people asking it as well, as I said, that combination really is quite difficult. For their part, the tribes say, no, we're not afraid of fighting, we're not afraid of war, we're not like the spies at all, we'll go to battle, we'll go to war, we will lead the fight, and then afterwards we'll come back. The rabbis discern within their thinking corrupt values, and I want to go back to Reuven specifically, because perhaps we can understand something. Reuven was the firstborn. As the firstborn, he deserved a double portion, among other things. The double portion should have been two portions in the land of Israel. Eventually, that was taken from Reuven and given to a different firstborn that was given to Yosef, whose two children, Manasseh and Ephraim, become bona fide tribes. Reuven, having lost his double portion, seems to be saying, if I can't have a double portion, I don't want anything. If I can't have a double portion in the land of Israel, I'd rather stay outside of the land of Israel. It's interesting to note that God is also a firstborn from his mother. Incidentally, Manasseh is also firstborn from his mother. So we have over here a confederation of three firstborns who for some sense feel, or perhaps feel, at least two of them perhaps feel, that if we can't get everything, we don't want anything. And Moshe, for his part, just, how could this possibly be? There are those who like to perhaps read this in a more positive way. If Moshe can't go into the land of Israel, maybe what the tribe of Reuven was saying is if you can't go to Israel, we'll stay together with you and we'll bring Israel to you. Because if this land gets annexed and this becomes part of Israel and you'll be buried over here, then maybe you really did come into Israel. Which means perhaps there's a way of looking at the behavior of these tribes, not just in a negative way, not of saying that we don't want the land of Israel, we don't want its holiness. Although it's interesting in terms of halacha, in terms of Jewish law, the area on the other side of the Jordan becomes part of the land of Israel. Although at least in terms of one law, Bikurim, the first fruits, there specifically it's told the law is you need to bring fruit from the land which flows like milk and honey. The other side of the Jordan gets a status, it achieves the status of the land of Israel, but it never does achieve the status of a land which flows with milk and honey.